You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Bible-loney. Now, I've got a guy who happens to have a website now. He was a pastor here in town for a long time. This is a great site. I encourage this. It's gotquestions.com. He was actually a philosophy professor that I had in seminary. He was a student teacher, and I thought he was kind of out there. It turns out he's pretty smart. I'm going to read you something I found about absolute truth. Now, please track with me. And I know we got people listening. You go, well, I'm here because grandma said if I came, she'd keep me in the will. You know, I don't even want to be here. So whatever reason you are still listening or you're here, just track with me. This is one of the things he says about absolute truth. To make the statement that there is no absolute truth is illogical. Yet today, many people are embracing a cultural relativism that denies any type of absolute truth. A good question to ask people who say there is no absolute truth is this: are you absolutely sure of that? If they say yes, they have made an absolute statement, which itself implies the existence of absolutes. They are saying that the very fact there is no absolute truth is the one and only absolute truth. Now, I'm going to say this as gently as I can. You've got to start using your brain and stop listening to what every other Yahoo says out there. Listening to the culture and what everybody comes up with, which a thinking person, any logical person is going to go, this doesn't work. But we all just get swept over the waterfall because everybody says it. Let me read you something else he says a little further in this article. Tolerance has become the one cardinal virtue of the postmodern society. Tolerance is the one absolute, and therefore intolerance is the only evil. Isn't it interesting? When you come across intolerant, you are Satan. You are the evil person. Any dogmatic belief, especially a belief in absolute truth, is viewed as intolerance, the ultimate sin. Those who deny absolute truth will often say that it is all right to believe what you want as long as you do not try to impose your beliefs on others. Now listen, right? It's okay to believe what you want to believe as long as you don't impose those beliefs on other people. But this view itself is a belief about what is right and wrong, and those who hold this view most definitely do try to impose it on others. They set up a standard of behavior which they insist others follow, thereby violating the very thing they claim to uphold. Another self-contradicting position. Those who hold such a belief simply do not want to be accountable for their actions. If there is absolute truth, then there are absolute standards of right and wrong, and we are accountable to those standards. This accountability is what people are really rejecting when they reject absolute truth. In the world would be chaos. You pull up to a stoplight and someone says the light's red. And you say, well, that's what you think. I don't believe that. I believe that red now means go. Therefore, I will go because you can't tell me what to believe. You say, well, that's silly. That's not what we're talking about. Well, then what is it that you are talking about? What is this thing you've just dreamed up? People say, well, all roads lead to God. That is the craziest thing any logical person could ever come up with. If you really say you believe that, then you have not done any reading. You are brain dead. Because all these roads have different ways of getting there. So if you'd read what they say, this one says to get there says this, this one says that. They contradict each other. They can't all lead the same place. It's illogical. So your problem is not that these things can't be worked out, is you just won't think. You won't use your brain. And you just, whatever the culture says, that's what you're going to do. Your very eternity could be riding on whether you use your brain and your heart and figure out what's up. Right? Have I lost anybody yet? I don't care. Anyhow, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Go there. Isaiah 55, let's jump in at verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Now I get this, I'm trying to explain it. This is a guy named Isaiah who's a prophet, and he's claiming that what he says is what God is saying through him. And I understand that's a little freaky, but you're just as nuts because you're listening to me. So you say it doesn't make any sense. Then why are you listening to me read his words and me expounding on all this? Because you're hungry and there's something to this. Because you can't make someone listen to this. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, is what God says. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So I encourage you, I highly encourage you, just read the Bible. You say, well, I don't get it. Okay, I can remember, I mentioned this in this Bible study the other day. In college, I had to read something called Beowulf. That's like from hell. That is like, that should be illegal. I stared at Beowulf for weeks. I couldn't tell you to this day what that thing is about. I think it was part of some purgatory, whatever, you know, just part of, I did something in my childhood and Beowulf was the penalty. Even if you tried to read Beowulf and you went to class and the teacher starts asking questions, I still didn't know what to say. And I thought, if she claims to understand what this is about, she's smoking something because no one can get this. And that's how people feel with the scriptures. It's not just a bunch of stuff made up. It's not some, you know, just ground up words thrown together to make some spiritual sandwich. This is not just, oh, let's go to church and, you know, he'll read some poems and we'll go home. I actually believe this is his words. So when I read my Bible, I'm going there, you know, I've got a physical body, so I eat. You have a spiritual person in you. You are a spirit as well. You have a, now you may not have the spirit of God until you're a Christian, but when you become a Christian, you get hungry. And before you become a Christian, you get hungry. Because you know, forget the Bible for a second. There's no Bible. What are you going to do with the awareness? You have an awareness that there has to be more. Dogs don't run around looking at stuff going, wow, am I just going to be a dog the rest of my life? They're just animals. You are not just an animal. You may be behaving like just an animal, but you are more than an animal. You think about, what if there is an eternity? What if I die? I am going to die. Do I have a purpose? I mean, am I here for some reason? Why is there evil? Why, you know, what is evil? And then there are people who say, well, there is no evil. There is evil. So even if you don't have a Bible, you know something is up. And the bigger the universe gets, we find more and more things. You go, oh my gosh, if there is a God, how huge is he? And if he's so big, does he even know I exist? And does he care about me? You're thinking about these things. What if God knew you would have all these questions and he actually sent words to answer those questions? And he did. You say, but everybody claims that. I challenge you, go read all the words they can come up with. There is something different about these words. When it's really God's words, it will change your life. All right, what do we got here? Go to John chapter 5, and I'll try to read through these quick. John chapter 5, verse 37 says this, and the Father himself who sent me, now this is Jesus, and he claimed to be God. He's man, he's down here as a man, but he's God and a man, born of a virgin. And you say, oh, there you're losing me again, claiming all this. And by the way, the statistical probability alone of things that were written hundreds of years before they actually came to pass, coming to pass, is just absurd. I've done some research on this and, you know, certain number of prophecies, the probability is like 10 to the 17th. Like, it's ridiculous. One guy said for a certain number of prophecies, the simple prophecies, virgin birth, dying on a cross, all these basic things prophesied where Jesus would be born. Do you think the Romans were sitting around going, okay, we got to figure out a way to call for a taxation so we can get Jesus, who is pregnant inside of Mary, this virgin, betrothed to this guy named Jesus. We got to get them in Bethlehem so we can help fulfill prophecy. Do you think the Roman Empire sitting around trying to figure that out? No. So how do you think these, well, it just happened. It's not possible. One guy said it would be like covering the state of Texas in 2 feet of quarters and saying, go find seven, mix them all up and go find seven quarters and you cannot make any mistake. The whole state of Texas. You got to pull the right quarter every time. It's absurd. Use your brain. Don't just write the Bible off and say, well, there's nothing to it. Crazy numbers of copies of this book have been sold. People read it, actually. They still do. Why? Because there's something about this book. And then people say, well, but it's full of errors. I'm so tired of hearing this. And they usually can't cite one error. I never had anybody in college go, well, I'm not reading Shakespeare. It's full of errors. How can we know that's really what he wrote down? You'll read that and never question it. You'll read Greek writings, never question those, but the Bible. And then you say, yeah, I believe in God. Well, you believe he created the heavens and the earth, all the universe? Well, yeah, I'll give you that. Then don't you think he could get a book written? If there's so much writing on this, he could get this preserved and kept and protected so that we would have the information he's trying to get to us. So I don't sit around going, well, I don't know if I'm going to tear that page out because I got questions. You know what? I am brilliantly ignorant enough to just believe it because I got nowhere else to go, because anything else I read is just like reading poems. It's a little inspiring and then it dies on me, and I read his word and boom, it's like food for my soul. It changes my life. Did I read that verse? Well, let's try that again. John chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures. Now, he's talking to people who are on the planet at that time, and they were looking in the Old Testament, which is the only scriptures they had. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. And all the verses you're finding are talking about me, he says. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. At some point, you're going to have to get to the place, and this is how you become a Christian, by the way, where all of the stuff that doesn't make sense, you finally clear out and say, you know what? I've searched everything. I've read everything I can read. I can't escape this Jesus guy and the story and the fact that God sent his only son, all these things. So you know what? I got to do something with this Jesus guy. Then you acknowledge that he is Messiah. He is the chosen one. He is your only hope. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You say, well, do people think I'm crazy? It'd be better than being separated from God for eternity, wouldn't it? You think, well, I'm just going to write my own ticket. Just, you know, I think the Eagles are coming to town soon. Are they still alive? I think they're alive. Coming to town. You know, well, I think I want to go to the Eagles concert. I grew up on that. Do you have a ticket? No, I don't need a ticket. I'll just write my own ticket. I'll get me a little napkin and write, please admit one, Richard Ellis, to Eagles concert and the date and time. And I'll walk up to the door and go, here's my ticket. We're sorry, sir, that doesn't work here. What do you mean? It's my ticket. I wrote my ticket. It's my ticket right here. Sir, we're sorry. That doesn't work. See, you think, what kind of nutcase would walk up with their own ticket? Don't do that to God then. You show up at heaven's gate and go, well, I wrote my own ticket. This is what I believe. Here's my deal. So get out of the way. I'm coming in. You say, well, that's crazy stuff. Then don't do that crazy stuff. If you think there's a God and you think there's an eternity someplace, then you think you would think about where you're going to spend that and do some research, like what would be the ticket? Well, so-and-so said this, and I got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I'm just going to roll the dice when I get there and see what happens. I'll tell you what will happen. You're not going to make it. And it's not because God didn't try to warn you or provide you the information. If you say it makes sense, I'll quit now. See there, I got to keep going. All right. I keep quoting this, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I didn't write that. You say, yeah, but did Jesus really say that? At some point, you're going to have to put some faith in the game. You're going to have to believe something. And there's a good chance you're already believing a bunch of nonsense as it is. Right? You say, what do you mean I'm believing nonsense? If you haven't done any homework and explored this at all and you're just winging it, your entire eternity, you say, well, I don't believe, I think we just die and turn to dirt. Then why are you listening to me at all? You know something's up, or you wouldn't be listening. You wouldn't be searching. There's an internal mechanism that seeks after God. Go to Romans chapter 1. I've read this before. I'm reading it again. I'm trying to hammer something down here. So go with me to Romans chapter 1. And here, Paul, writing to this corrupt, this, you know, bunch of Roman Christians in a pretty tough place, Let's jump into verse 18. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness because," now look at this, "because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." You have no excuse. I have seen in the flesh, I have seen three children born. If you don't believe in God before that, when you see a human being coming out of your wife's body, you figure out pretty quick there has to be a God. This is unbelievable. You deposit a seed in there, turns into a human being, boom, they're trying to get out, and they stay around the house for quite a while, you know. And that's a good thing in my case. You cannot see a baby born and go, "Oh, well, I don't believe in God." It doesn't make any sense. What is this? People that don't even exist, and here they are. And then they live and they die, and you think about these things. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? The older you get, you give some close calls with death, you start thinking about it. I'm suggesting to you that there are some answers, some really good answers. And you say, "Well, what if the answer I land on is this Jesus guy, and then all of a sudden I'm the intolerant person that no one likes?" It's going to be okay. Grow up. Stand up. Step up. Be strong. Believe something. What if what you believe actually is the truth? And maybe you can help someone else. Instead of this wishy-washy, "Oh, you don't want to offend anybody." I don't care about not offending anybody. I think hell's going to be really offensive. And you say, "Well, I don't believe there's a hell." You believe whatever you want to believe. I'm telling you, you're going to believe a lot of stuff, and it's just going to be too late. "Well, but in my work, in my office, if I actually believe these things, I would be fired." Okay, then. Great. So you're not going to be the guy. But maybe you'll actually have a life and be able to go home and look at your wife and go, "I got fired today. Why'd you get fired? I wouldn't back down. Wow, I'm proud of you." We're probably going to starve to death, but I'm proud of you. You know. You know what? Where are those people? We celebrate Independence Day, all these holidays. We have people that fought for our country. We got all this freedom. There is no freedom without sacrifice, without somebody stepping up. So step up. Believe something and don't back down. You don't have to be mean about it, but believe something. There has to be something that is true. Everything cannot be true. Oh, I got more verses and I'm feeling good. So let's see how much time we got. Let me read you just, go to Romans 10. Romans 2, there's some really good stuff in that one too. I can't take the time to read that. Romans 10. Romans 10 says this. Let's jump into verse 12. "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You say, "Well, what does that mean?" My mama used to tell people, if all you can get out is "help, Jesus help," then get that out. A couple showed up in the office this week. The girl's mom showed up years ago off the radio. Then the daughter came. The daughter brought her boyfriend, who's a mess, and they're a mess. So they come and sit down, and they're going at each other trying to figure out what's up. And turns out, long story short, he prays and becomes a Christian. I said, "Have you ever done that?" She said, "In my bathroom about a month ago, I did that." What are these people doing? They are saying, "Okay, God, I'm wrong. You're right. I believe what you said. Something is going on inside of me." By the way, you're not just intellectually, you're not agreeing to some facts. If God is pulling you in, drawing you in, you're getting wooed to God himself, you're going to know that. And then he gives you the information to kind of respond with, and you go, "Okay, I can't do this by myself. Save me." I mean, well, that's simply what it is. God, save me. Then, well, how does he save you? What did he send down here? What's the vehicle he sent to save you? He sent Jesus into the fray to live, show you how to live, die on a cross, be buried, raised from the dead, and he is able and capable and the ticket to save you. So what happens? Somehow God moves in and lives in you and through you. When this guy left my office, I'm sure he's still a piece of work. I haven't seen him since the other day. I'm sure he's still a piece of work, though. But his countenance literally was different. You say, "Well, what is that?" It's God. You say, "Well, how can you explain that?" No, but I got it. I got him living in here. That's my only hope. You say, well, you just get all animated because this is your job. Let me tell you something. This isn't a job. This is my life. I have nothing without Jesus. I sat down with a guy years ago, and he was a firewalker. He could take a piece of rebar, and he'd go do these seminar things, and he'd take a piece of rebar, and you'd stick it on your Adam's apple right there, and he'd put it on his, and then he'd say, now, push together, and cry out, Puma, Puma, Puma. And they would bend the rebar, and then he'd put coals of fire and walk across the fire. So we sat one day for about 5 hours, and I said, dude, what are you doing? I said, do you have anything that you would die for? Get you something you would not just live for, but that you're willing to die for. Now you're living. I got somebody who died for me. There is not another religion on the planet that claims that, you know, every other religion, by the way, that you go seeking out is all man's attempt to reach God, be good enough for God. And if you don't make it this time around, you can come back as a cow and be an Oscar Mayer wiener, you know, whatever you got to do. You know, keep recycling. You say, well, you're making fun. Look, just think about it. Do you honestly believe that's what's going on? Give God a chance. The true God, the Jesus God. Give him a chance. Now, since then, that guy's become a Christian and, you know, he's not bending rebar anymore. Okay, great, you can bend rebar. And then what? What is he doing in your life, through your life? What is the difference for eternity and for here and now? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then look at verse 14, Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or someone that sent one? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, and here he quotes the Old Testament, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? And then look at verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why do I read you so much scripture? Because faith comes by hearing, and what? Hearing comes by the word of God. So my ingredients for a sermon are the word of God. Because without this, you will not have the faith. But somehow when you hear the word of God, the true words of God, then God gives you the faith to believe, and those two sync up and you go, wow, I get it. Why did that not ever make sense before? And then things start to change and things start to make more sense. And even if they didn't, here's one of the coolest things about becoming a Christian. I go to sleep at night. And every once in a while I think about, what if I don't wake up? You know what? There's no chance of that. I will always wake up somewhere. But I can tell you where I'm not going to wake up. I'll wake up here in heaven. I will not wake up in hell. You know why I know that? Because his word guarantees that. I trust his word. I did what he said to do. He's got to do what he said he would do. And I trust that. My whole life is riding on this. What's your life riding on? You say, well, you're mocking my ticket. No, I'm just asking you to get a real ticket. And if you do write your own ticket and find one, be sure it's something you're willing to live and die for. Then you got something.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Maybe one more. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Maybe we'll jump in here at verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So I believe that. I trust that. This is my book. I'm sticking to it because I've never found any words more powerful than these words. And part of what gets me back to these words is I have internal mechanisms that make me spiritually hungry, spiritually thirsty. that I crave, I have to have answers. Something is going on inside of me. If you're breathing, something probably is still going on inside of you. Respond to that. Use your brain. Think. Don't just listen to a culture that has lost its ever-loving mind. Think for yourself. Pray. Ask God to show up. Reveal himself. He's already done that. The Bible says you're without excuse already because the whole creation screams that he is real. So give him a shot. See what he can do.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.